Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Back in On the Drive, coming up in 30 minutes. If you missed Ian Eagle, he is on the call for Chiefs and Texans. We will play that for you coming up in 30 minutes. Thanks so much for listening. Coming up in 15 minutes, Sports Machine thinks that it is the Super Bowl for the Houston Texans. We'll get into that coming up in just a little bit. I'm on the other side. I think Houston has to prove that they can win these kind of games against teams the caliber of the Kansas City Chiefs. We'll get to that coming up in a little bit. But it is time to play Pick a Player. It is presented by Ag Power. Experience all that John Deere has to offer at Ag Power, your full-line John Deere dealer. Today's player is Jay Binkley. It's always fun when Binkley can play. Let's do a Halloween pumpkin-themed Pick a Player with Jay Binkley. The prize today is Andy's Ice Cream. I heard they got some pumpkin spice latte ice cream that is to die for.
I stick with the cookie dough.
So let's go to the phone line right now. We've got Patrick, Ryan, RJ, and Alex. The rules to Pick a Player are very simple. I give you a category. You get 15 seconds. Name as many things in that category as you can. Colors, red, blue, green, indigo, violet, and the clock will start. We will play the player. We'll see how many you get going up against them again. The winner gets Andy's ice cream. Patrick, how you doing, my man?
Good, thank you.
All right. Do you understand the rules?
I believe so.
All right. One, two, three, or four. Take your pick.
Two.
Two. All right. You have amusement parks. How many different amusement parks can you name in 15 seconds? On your mark, get set, go.
Six Flags, Ocean of Fun, World of Fun, Disney World, Disneyland, Cedar Rapids. That's probably all I got.
I would have struggled with this category too, Patrick. I don't really fault you for that. Sean, what's your favorite roller coaster?
That would be the Zambezi Zinger. Thanks for asking.
No, I figured, I know you're a big amusement park guy. I hate roller coasters. I don't like getting on stuff. I don't have any control.
I'm telling you, the Haunt at Worlds of Fun, if you've never been, take my word for it. I don't care how old you are. You got to check out the Haunt at Worlds of Fun sometime. You got six.
I'm just not fooling with them, man. What's your favorite roller coaster now that the Zambezi Zinger is gone?
When was the last time you rode a roller coaster? Better question.
You want to be honest?
Yes. About, I would prefer that you do that.
Last Saturday night. I was at the Haunt. I rode the Timberwolf. It was great.
Oh, the Timberwolf's terrible.
That was the only ride I rode. That's all I'm
giving you. It's absolutely terrible. They've got some good roller coasters at Worlds of Fun. The Timberwolf is awful.
There was no line, so maybe that tells you the Timberwolf is not what it used to be.
The only roller coaster I've ever ridden at Worlds of Fun is the Fury of the Nile and the Monsoon. Never ridden
that's,
anything.
That's not a roller coaster.
At all. Whatever those two
it's
are,
a water ride.
I'm not getting on any those of those water rides. I'm not getting on the Timberwolf, your Zambezi Zinger, the Mamba. Hell no, I'm not going to
You could ride the
bullet.
Patriot. You'd be fine on the Patriot.
See, Dot, the only roller coaster I've ever rode is the bumper cars.
Yeah, I'm not getting on any of that
no,
stuff.
No, that's not a roller coaster, buddy.
I'm there to walk around and eat
you
the little
the carousel.
Turkey leg. That's all I'm there for.
Funnel cakes are great there.
I'm there for a turkey leg and a funnel cake. Cool. I'm not there for that's anything cool. else. All right, let's see if Jay Binkley knows his amusement parks.
See, Oceans of Fun, Worlds of Fun, Cedar Point, Disneyland, Disney World, Six Flags St. Louis, Six Flags Texas, Great Wolf Lodge, Epcot Center.
Cedar Point, that's in Iowa, right?
It is. I don't know if...
Ohio, I believe.
What was the last one Bink said? I don't think that... Like, Great Wolf Lodge?
He said Great Wolf Lodge. Does that count?
Nah.
I don't think that's an amusement park.
They do have, like, a little mini water park there. I can't give him that one. Although...
I would give it... I mean, it is amusement park-ish.
He said Six Flags Texas. I think it's technically Six Flags Arlington.
No, give him
all right, you got eight.
Give him that. All right, give him that.
Goodness, plus two for Bank.
Goodness gracious. All right, let's go down the line. All right, Ryan, how you doing, my man?
Good, how are you?
All right, one, three, or four. Take your pick.
Three.
All right, three. You have scary movies. It is Halloween over at Casa de Carrington.
Ooh.
Let's see if you know your scary movies. You got 15 seconds on your mark. Get set, go.
Halloween, H2O, Friday the 13th, House of a Thousand Corpses, Scream 2, Scream 3.
Okay, I'm going to put you on hold here. What's your favorite scary movie series, Sports Machine?
Why do you stop there? Didn't they make a Scream 4 also?
They did make a Scream 4. They actually have a Scream television show on MTV as well.
You know my favorite scary movie. My cousin produced it. You always tell me this movie sucks. It Follows is my favorite scary movie.
Because the villain is chlamydia. If you go watch It Follows.
It's a little awkward to have an STD as a villain. I'll give
you
that.
I'm just telling you. The villain in It Follows.
That's what I call a scary movie.
It's gonorrhea.
That's a scary movie right there.
That's the villain in It Follows. I love Scream with a... I just watched Scream 2 nights ago on Netflix. I love the Scream
series.
Yeah,
if it's Jason or Freddy or what is it? Gonorrhea? Chlamydia? Either
one.
That's what I'm more afraid of.
I'm a big Saw fan. I will go see Saw every single time. I will go see Saw 9, 19. Remember Final Destination? They made like 19 Final Destinations.
I was a huge fan of Final Destination. And then they got to like the 27th one and I was like, all right, I've seen this one already.
You can't call it Final Destination if you've made 12 of them. Let's see if
they made three Home Alones.
No, that's very fair. I mean, that's maybe the worst parents we've ever seen. Let's see if Binkley knows the scary movies.
Halloween 1, Halloween 2, Halloween 3, Halloween 4, Scream 1, Scream 2, Scream 3, Nightmare on Elm Street 1, Nightmare on Elm Street 2, The Shining.
Ooh, The Shining.
He went with the solo. Like his last one was, I ran out of the different series that I can think of.
The Shining, scary as hell. Bink got 11.
I've actually been to the hotel that The Shining is based off of.
Really?
I really love The Shining. The hotel is beautiful. It's Estes Park. It's in Colorado. It's right at the base of the Rocky Mountains. It's beautiful.
You don't say.
Absolutely beautiful. Are you a fan of the Halloween series? Okay. Michael Myers has died in the Halloween series like 7 times, and he continued. They're making another Halloween movie. I was certain he died at the end of this most recent one. I was certain he died.
Are there more Halloweens or Fast and the Furious?
I'm going to guess Fast and the Furious.
Gotta be.
I think they're on 10 Fast and the Furious.
Is that right?
I think they're on 10.
Is that right?
Longest running series?
I mean, if you're counting Hobbs and Shaw, I think they've made 10 separate
movies.
Oh,
they made like 26 Rockies.
I guess... think there's more than that in terms of Star Wars, like the spinoffs and stuff. I think Star Wars would probably be number one.
Yeah, no, Star Wars probably is. I would say Land Before Time is probably actually the longest running.
Wait, did somebody say Star Wars? Measle Jar Jar Binks.
Let's go back to who won that one between the two?
Binkley.
All right, Binkley won. All right, Ryan, hang up the phone. You cannot win. All right, RJ, how you doing, my man?
Good afternoon.
All right, we have 1 or 4. Take your pick.
4.
All right, 4. Famous people who have appeared on Saturday Night Live. Famous people who have appeared on Saturday Night Live. You got 15 seconds here. Mark, get set, go.
Bill Murray, Steve Martin, Jim Belushi, John Belushi, Eddie Murphy, Chris Rock, Chris Tucker, Jackie Chan, Quentin Tarantino, Bill Cosby.
All right, let me put you on hold there. I'm not going to lie, I can't really confirm or deny if all of those people who have been on Saturday Night Live, but they have been famous enough that at some point they probably were on Saturday Night Live.
You think Bill Cosby will ever host again?
I don't think he's going to ever host again. I don't think he's ever going to host again. I don't think he's ever going to be a free man again, to be completely honest. I think he's going to die in jail.
I was a big fan of Phil Hartman and Adam Sandler's work on Saturday Night Live. He got 10.
I never was a Saturday Night Live guy. I watch it if I like the musical guests, but I very rarely watched the show before.
He got 10.
All right, let's see if Binkley knows his famous people who have appeared on Saturday Night Live.
Donald Trump, Joe Montana, Walter Payton, Peyton Manning, Eli Manning.
This is great.
The chick from Mike and Molly, Chevy Chase, Steve Martin, Dan Aykroyd.
It took him till the last two to actually name cast members. In fact, it took him the first 7 before he named anything other than an athlete.
I think he named all of the athletes that have been on.
I've never seen Mike and Molly, but I think that's Melissa McCartney.
Is she the
woman from Mike
Absolutely,
and Molly?
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay, all right. I wasn't sure. I've never seen Mike or Molly before. But
I did see the episode, or at least one of the episodes she was on, though. So he is factually correct.
She's in Bridesmaids, right, Melissa McCartney?
Mm-hmm.
I like her. She's funny.
She's very funny.
Very She's funny. In that one identity theft movie with Jason Bateman. That's a funny movie. I like that movie.
Binkley got 9, so RJ's in the lead.
All right, RJ, stay on the line. You could be going to Andy's Ice Cream. Let's see how Alex does. Alex, how you doing, my man?
Good.
All right. Things that could be pumpkin spiced. You got 15 seconds to name as many things that could have pumpkin spice flavoring that you can. On your mark, get set, go.
Spam, latte, coffee, tea, bread, gum. What else would there be? Beer.
Okay, let me put you on hold here.
All right, I've got a question.
I mean this in all seriousness.
I got a lot of questions.
And I assume that BK's question and your question is the same one that I have. If you have ever eaten pumpkin spice spam, stop listening to this show
immediately. You're done.
Stop listening to it. We've come as far as we've come in this. If you have ever consumed pumpkin spice fake meat before,
this is a real thing.
This is not your
joke. I was going to say, he came out the gates with that, so something tells me it's
he
real.
He loves it. No, it's he loves real. It.
It's real, BK?
No, he loves it.
It's very real. I just Googled this because I refused to believe that it's real. It is very much real. You can buy some on eBay right now for $41.
I was going to say, I'm going to make you guys a promise. And coming up on Monday, I'm going to eat some pumpkin spice spam on air. But if it's $41, I don't have that much money in my bank
account. I just don't understand. What is going on in your life that's the first thing that you said? Like, it's one thing.
Maybe after lunch.
It's one thing to understand that it's real. Like, that's fine. That's perfectly fine. I got no issues with it. For it to be the first thing that comes out of your mouth when you think of something that is pumpkin spiced, we just live very different lives. I'm not saying it's better or worse, just very different lives.
I've never had spam before in my entire life.
Me either. He also said pumpkin spice gum, which I'm not sure if that's a thing or not. I just would have gone with candle.
I mean, I'm not going to make it seem like we had the, you know, we were rich by any means. We were never spam poor. That's a different level of poverty that I don't know if I've ever experienced before. I mean, I've had my bologna sandwiches and my ramen noodles. Never had spam before. BK, hit Binkley's answer.
Donuts can be pumpkin spiced. How about pumpkin seeds? Because they're technically pumpkin spiced, right?
What?
Pumpkin spice lattes. Never have those. I just drink beer. Pumpkin spice candles. That's it.
That's it.
What a simpleton. He said he drinks beer, and then he didn't say pumpkin spice beer. Binkley.
Who's the winner, my man?
I think Alex won.
Alex takes it home with a +2.
Alex, you are the winner. Stay online, and you are going to get some Andy's free ice cream. Coming up in 20 minutes, we will hear from Ian Eagle, who is on the call for Chiefs and Texans. But first, Sports Machine thinks that Sunday is the Super Bowl for the Texans. He'll explain it coming up. It's
The Drive. The Drive. 610 Sports Radio.
So that's Chief Safety Tyrann Mathieu, who was on the Texans last year. You think this could be the Texans Super Bowl on Sunday?
That's pretty cool. Tyrann Mathieu joined us from a cave. We appreciate that. Yeah, it is going to be the Super Bowl for the Houston Texans. If you think about it from their perspective, the Chiefs are a barometer game for everybody this year. They went to the AFC Championship game. It's the Patriots and the Chiefs that everybody kind of matches themselves up against. And same thing when it comes to Deshaun Watson, Patrick Mahomes. They got drafted out of the same class. If it wasn't for Patrick Mahomes, Deshaun Watson would have all the accolades and sponsors that Patrick Mahomes actually has. So it's a barometer game. It's a test for both the Texans and their quarterback, Deshaun Watson. And it's a huge stage. It's a prove-it game. If they win, CDOT, they're 4-2. The Chiefs are 4-2. The Texans have the tiebreaker. And Deshaun Watson's name moves right up to the top of the MVP conversation. So from their perspective, talking about the Texans, this is their Super Bowl.
I'm a big believer in the tier system. I'm not really one for power rankings in the NFL, but I do like the tier system. And typically, we treat the teams that are legitimate Super Bowl contenders, and we give them the table. Now, you can still be in the club, and you can still have fun even if you don't have a table. But the people that have a table, it's just a little cooler. They get the sparklers. They get the drinks. The girls normally go over there. It's different having a table than just being in the club. The Chiefs are in the club. They're a Super Bowl contending team. They were a favorite in Vegas to go to the Super Bowl. They got the MVP. They got the 5 nationally televised games this season, and one's going to get flexed. The Chiefs get treated like a premier team A in the NFL. That's not how the Texans get treated. Maybe I'm wrong here. Do you guys see Watson on any commercials? I see Baker in commercials. I see Mahomes in commercials. I don't think I've ever seen Watson on a television commercial in Kansas City.
It's a hell of a good question.
I don't think I've ever seen him before.
I just saw Dak on a commercial. I see Cam on commercials. I can't remember.
Don't think I've ever seen Deshaun Watson in a television commercial. Think about them as a team. They don't get talked about in the same way that the Saints get talked about. They don't get talked about in the same way that the Rams get talked about, or the Chiefs, or the Patriots,
BK, see,
or
that's
the
a
Eagles.
Fact. See if you can find something online, because Patrick Mahomes has 25 different national endorsements. I'm sure Deshaun Watson's doing something.
He's doing beats, but I can't find anything.
I assume he has endorsements. I'm saying is, when we sat down on the when watch television on Sunday, do you see Deshaun Watson in commercials? Because I've never seen Deshaun Watson in a commercial before. Like, I just think how we treat the Texans is we treat them like a tier B team. This is a game that if you want to change the perception around your team and you want people to talk about you the same way they talk about the Chiefs, same way they talk about the Saints, same way they talk about the Rams, You got to find a way to win these kind of games. So I looked it up today. He only has one road win against a team who has finished the season with a winning record. One time in his career has Deshaun Watson and the Houston Texans gone on the road and beat a team that ended the season with a winning record and was a playoff team. Can you do that in this game? This is typically not games that teams like the Texans wins. This is typically a game that the Houston Texans as an organization hasn't won. If they win this game, the conversation will not be just Chiefs and Patriots and everybody else. It might be Chiefs, Texans, Patriots, and everybody else in the AFC.
How many wins does Pat have versus those type of teams, versus playoff teams? Last year, he beat the Chargers. They made it to the postseason. I'm trying to think of another.
He only has, so I looked it up, it was Mahomes is 6-5 against teams that finished the season with winning records. Deshaun Watson is 4-13.
To use your club analogy, I think that teams like Indy and Oakland, they're waiting outside, and the bouncer's like, unless you've got a bunch of hot girls with you, you ain't getting in the club. And then Houston is in the club. I think they're in there. I think they're a playoff team. I think that the Chiefs and the Patriots are in the VIP section. But I think that Houston, if you made me pick today, and I understand I've been flip-flopping every single week, Houston's firmly in that conversation for the third best team in the AFC.
Yeah, and that's perfectly fine. But the third best team in the AFC, only two teams play in the AFC championship game. So it's important to be the third best team in the AFC.
And a good way to get there is having home field advantage. And a good way to have home field advantage is to win this game.
But everyone has treated it like it is inevitable in the AFC of what's going to happen. The Chiefs are going to play the Patriots. We are just deciding who the home team is going to be in that game. And the rest of the teams don't matter. If Houston finds a way to win this, and as you said, they have the tiebreaker in this game, people are going to discuss and view the Texans differently. They're going to be the favorite in their division. They're going to have the tiebreaker over the Chiefs, and they're going to be a team that people look at that could go to the AFC Championship game and be a contender. It's going to be an argument. Maybe it's not a fair argument, but it will be an argument at the end of this game from national pundits on who's better, the Chiefs or the Texans.
The only reason, Carrington, everybody's not calling them the third best team in the AFC right now is because of their coach. Nobody believes in Bill O'Brien. Everybody that knows anything about football, including the guests we brought in from Houston, say, hey, he's fine. He's probably like the 20th, 25th best coach in the NFL. That's it. What else doesn't this team have? Last year, they won the division, won 11 games, went to the postseason. They've got the second best young quarterback in football. They've got the guy who I think is the best wide receiver in the entire league in DeAndre Hopkins. J.J. Watt is playing like J.J. Watt again. Like, what doesn't this team have besides a good head coach?
Coming up at 4:30, we will catch up with Ian Eagle of CBS Sports to break down Sunday's game between the Chiefs and the Texans. I want to play this for you quickly. It is Colin Cowherd on the Herd. He thinks that Deshaun Watson and Patrick Mahomes are close.
Now Deshaun Watson's got a great receiver and a good two, Will Fuller, and Kenny Stills, and a running game, and a left side. So now let's start comparing Watson and Deshaun, Watson and Patrick Mahomes, because now it's much more fair. Both have reasonable offensive line. Both have great perimeter weapons. Both have decent running backs. And Bill O'Brien's not a bad coach. I'm not saying that. But when you watch him this weekend, I don't think the gap's what you think the gap is. I think Mahomes is better than Watson. I think it's real close.
So that's the stance of Colin Cowherd. We've been debating this all week. We don't have to get back into it. Mahomes has a playoff win. Mahomes has the numbers. Mahomes has the awards. Mahomes has the national respect, the national commercials, the buzz. He's the star. I think the league is desperately waiting for someone else from this young quarterback class to emerge as another star, another face of the league. As we're starting to phase out Tom Brady, as we're starting to phase out Drew Brees, as we're starting to phase out Aaron Rodgers, I think the league is desperately looking for who that next star is going to be. I think Watson is extremely talented. I think he's a good quarterback. I think he's trying to get to the level of what Patrick Mahomes is at. A lot of the things we're talking about with Deshaun Watson is, I think he's going to do it. He can do it. Mahomes has already done a lot of those things we're talking about.
If you're buying fast food stock, you want to get McDonald's, right? It's consistent. Over time, it's going to end up making you money. But Burger King's a pretty good option, too. Like, maybe the second best option if you're forced to buy stock in fast food. That's what Deshaun Watson is. Like, he can get you to where you want to go. He's really good. He might be the second best option. But I think there's a pretty big gap between the fries and McDonald's and Burger King. I think there's a pretty big gap between what Pat's already done, what he's about to do, and Deshaun Watson.
And I also think we've seen, though, over time, I mean, there have been just other contenders. Like Chick-fil-A emerged. Chipotle wasn't a big deal when we were kids. McDonald's has just always been the constant, and they're the number one fast food in the world. Like, it feels like that's what Mahomes is going to be. I'm going to be number one. There's going to be all these other contenders. But at the end of the year, I'm just better than all of you. I got all the respect in the world for Deshaun Watson. But I think that the Texans are kind of in a place that the Chiefs were a couple years ago. They can win 10. They could win 11 games. They're probably not going to go far in the playoffs. Maybe they'll win one game. Can they elevate and take that next step as a playoff team? We'll see what happens
this year.
They're
burger king. Nothing matter with the Whopper. Nothing at all.
Coming up in just a little bit, we'll catch up with Ian Eagle of CBS Sports. We'll also give you a chance to win $1,000 on our national cash contest. So do all that coming up. So drive.
The Drive. Weekdays 2 to 6.
It's your chance to win $1,000 on our national cash contest. Text the word YOUNG. Y-O-U-N-G. YOUNG to 72881. That's YOUNG. If you want $1,000 in our national cash contest, all you got to do is keep it locked in right here on 610 Sports Radio for your chance to win. Just listen on the 30s from 9 to 5. Your next chance to win is coming up Monday. So if you want to try to win that cold hard cash, you might as well go ahead and text this number. One more time for those of you keeping score at home. YOUNG. Y-O-U-N-G. YOUNG to 72881. That is our national cash contest word for 430. Coming up in about 10 minutes, we will talk about this quote from Mark Schlereth.
Pat Mahomes is ruining quarterbacking for every young quarterback in the NFL because he becomes the guy you compare to. And he's a unicorn. Like, you can't compare Patrick Mahomes. I mean, he's just a freak show. Like, when he poops out Rainbow Sherbert. I mean, for crying out loud, he's a straight-up unicorn.
That is Mark Schlereth. We'll get into that quote about how Mahomes is ruining the expectation for younger quarterbacks. But earlier today, you and I had the opportunity to catch up with play-by-play voice Ian Eagle. He does the Brooklyn Nets. He also works for CBS Sports, and he is on the call for Chiefs and Texans. Our conversation started with Ian Eagle is, this is as good as a quarterback matchup you can expect in the NFL.
No doubt about it. And not just for this year, but moving forward. You're talking about the potential of this being a great quarterback rivalry for the years to come. So for anyone that's been around this league with Brady, with Manning, when you have those players that are in the same conference and the potential that they could see one another for big games, pivotal games down the road, this is the first one. So you're always going to remember the first one, and this is the first time these two guys are going head-to-head. Very exciting.
All right, and how big of a gap, if any, do you see between Patrick Mahomes and Deshaun Watson?
Well, I think with Mahomes, the success that he had right out of the gate caught everybody by surprise just at how dominant he was. Year two for him, so it was a little different. With Watson, he played right away, and Deshaun had some really exciting moments and indelible moments in that rookie year. And as he went, the team went. But injuries, as we know, played a part, and that derailed things in that first season. The fact that Mahomes stayed healthy, the fact that he wins the MVP, his team goes to the AFC Championship, that raised the bar up a couple of notches. With Deshaun, I think if you just looked at him without Patrick Mahomes in the mix, you'd be blown away by his progress, by how advanced he was, how quickly he took to the leadership role, and how quickly he processed what it was to be an NFL quarterback, and how much the guys on that team leaned on him, very much similar to Patrick Mahomes. And you meet Deshaun, he's a serious dude. I think, expects great things. And there's a commonality between the two that I don't think either one is shocked at their own success. They expect it to be great, and they're proving it.
I'm curious what issues you've seen with the Chiefs as kind of prepping for this game, because the only two issues I think that currently exist with the Kansas City Chiefs, and why I'm kind of unwavering on this being not only second best team in the AFC, but the second best team in the NFL. All I see this team dealing with right now is injuries and stopping the run. Everything else is about what I thought it was going to be, but the injuries have certainly taken a toll on this team, and this team's run defense is maybe worse than I had expected it being.
Yeah, take the first part first. Tyreek Hill not being a part of it. So while Kansas City camouflaged a lot of that through the first few weeks with different players stepping forward, DeMarcus Robinson, Mecole Hardman, Byron Pringle this past week, Sammy Watkins, as we know, the first few weeks, how dominant he was early in the season, that doesn't take away from the fact that you're losing one of the great playmakers in the NFL and someone that can completely change the game. you know, just look at numbers. Sometimes numbers will tell a full story. Sometimes they won't. In this case, I think they do at least indicate what Tyreek Hill means to the team. Just the number of points scored with Hill in the lineup compared to when he's not in the lineup. There's a difference of 8.6 points per game since Mahomes has been a quarterback. That's legitimate. That's real. That's a tangible number. And you get Tyreek Hill back, it changes your offense. It changes the way teams defend you. So, yes, 100% on the injury front. And now the injury is affecting the other part of the equation when Chris Jones is now banged up and Xavier Williams is done for the season. The run defense has been a problem. There's no doubt about that. Marlon Mack looked very spry and looked like an all-pro last week. And there have been other issues along the way in that department. They know it. It's not a mystery at this point. That's an area that they knew they had to improve overall defensively, but specifically in that area. And I still think this is a team that could be active around the trade deadline. I don't think they're going to stand pat. They know how close they are to being a legitimate Super Bowl team. You're going to have to go out and possibly make a move and not mortgage your future, but at least consider the fact that this also is a bit of a win-now scenario with the team that you've put together and the run that you could potentially go on with this historic offense. So everything you said is legit, and I think the Chiefs are well aware of it.
Chiefs and Texans coming up on Sunday on CBS. Ian Eagle will be on the call. Ian, J.J. Watt's coming to town, which is a scary thought because the Chiefs have a banged-up offensive line right now. How good is he right now, and how good is he when you talk about the total context of his career in the NFL?
Yeah, so twofold. One, we go off sack numbers, and the reality for J.J. Watt is that's not the only thing you can use as a barometer for his presence. He is such a game wrecker. He's got 4 sacks this season. He has 13 quarterback hits, which is the most in the NFL. His ability to put pressure on the quarterback, to also play the run, to set a tone defensively, and the fact that I think this defense is improving as the season has gone on. I saw them in person against New Orleans. One of the best games of the season happened to be on the first Monday night of the year. And I think they're much better today than they were back in week one on defense. Romeo Crennel has done an excellent job throughout his career as a defensive coordinator, multiple Super Bowl champion with not only New England, but going back to his early coaching days with the New York Giants. Whitney Mercilus has been outstanding. And whatever concerns they had with the pass rush, they've addressed them. DJ Reader is an outstanding player. Brennan Scarlett continues to make some plays. Bernardrick McKinney is someone that they now rely on. Zach Cunningham goes sideline to sideline. This is a good defense. They're going to be competitive throughout the season. Second part to your question with J.J. Watt, he's now in his 9th year in the NFL, and I think looking back on the impact that he's had as a 3-time defensive player of the year, a 5-time Pro Bowler, his effort, his abilities in both stopping the run and getting at the quarterback, he's going to go down as one of the great all-around defensive ends that this league has seen. And it's truly an incredible story, considering where he came from, considering that he started out as a tight end, considering that he had to basically talk his way onto the Wisconsin football team. It's pretty amazing and astounding what he's done in his career, and he's not done. He's not finished. He's still got a lot of gas left in the tank, despite some sizable injuries in his career. He's full motor all the time. A lot of respect for him as a player and as a person.
And that is Ian Eagle with CBS Sports. Always good to catch up with him. Really appreciate his time. Coming up in 20 minutes, we will get into the top stories of the day in Kansas City. I also want to get into that Mark Schlereth quote about Mahomes ruining young quarterbacks. This is the thing about the AFC. And we kind of go back and forth on who you think is the third best team in the AFC. I think there's a clear tier A that the Chiefs and the Patriots exist. Whoever you have better, you got to have the Patriots is better than the Chiefs right now. That tier B, there's probably 4 teams that maybe you put there now. Maybe you put 5 teams. So So I would say Buffalo is in that tier. Oakland has to be. They're over 500. They're 3-2. Baltimore is probably in that. They sit at 3-2. The Texans, Colts, and then maybe there's a team or two that you disagree. Like maybe you'll put Jacksonville in that category, and I wouldn't put Jacksonville in that category. Maybe you put Los Angeles, the Chargers, in that category, and I wouldn't put them. I do think we're trying to find out in the AFC if one of those four or five teams that I just named, if it's possible for them to elevate and be in Tier A. Because our perception about this conference was there's two firm teams in Tier A, and we are on a crash course to the AFC Championship game. So the question is, can any of those other guys break up the party? Houston, if fully healthy, they do have some of the talent that they could crash the party, but I think their biggest concern is their coach and Bill O'Brien.
And if you're talking about tiers, are we talking about tiers right now, 5 weeks into the season, or tiers like we think they're going to be once the playoffs roll around? Because teams like Oakland might have a winning record right now. I'll be shocked if by the time the playoffs roll around, we're still talking about teams like the Raiders.
I mean, I think the Raiders could make the playoffs. I mean, I look at the wild card team. I mean, find six teams that you think are making the playoffs.
Not easy.
So the Patriots are going to make the playoffs. The Chiefs are going to make the playoffs. Those are the only teams that I think are locks in the AFC. I would probably say Buffalo's going to make the playoffs because the benefit, the schedule that the Patriots have is the Bills have a very similar schedule. They also get to play the Dolphins and the Jets two times as well. So I think that Buffalo's making the playoffs. Everybody else, it's up for grabs. So I'm with you. If you don't believe in Oakland, that's perfectly fine. And you're picking the Chargers. But, man, the other teams in the AFC. So let's say that the three locks, Patriots, Bills, and Chiefs. Those are the teams that have four wins or more in the AFC. Man, the other teams that have four wins or fewer, Dolphins, Jets, Raiders, Chargers, Broncos, Ravens, Browns, Steelers, Bengals, Texans, Colts, Jaguars, and Titans.
Could have said everybody.
Man, find three other teams. Find the three other teams that you think are going to make the playoffs. Like, it's a really difficult exercise.
That's why earlier, like 20 minutes ago, I said, I think Houston's in the club. I don't think they're in the VIP section with the Chiefs and with the Patriots, but I think they're in the club because it's a 16-game schedule, and at some point, talent rises to the top. And if you're talking about teams like Oakland and Indy and Baltimore and Cleveland, Houston's by far much, much more talented than all those teams, whether you want to talk about their quarterback in Deshaun Watson, whether you want to talk about they've got an elite defensive player in J.J. Watt, if you want to talk about DeAndre Hopkins, like they're a relatively complete football team too. So I think right now, if you made me pick, I would say Houston is the third best team in the AFC.
I want to play this for you. This is Mark Schlereth. He was talking about quarterbacks, and he thinks that Mahomes is basically a ghost for these other QBs.
Pat Mahomes is ruining quarterbacking for every young quarterback in the NFL because he becomes the guy you compare to. And he's a unicorn. Like, you can't compare Patrick Mahomes. I mean, he's just a freak show. Like, when he poops out the rainbow sherbet. I mean, for crying out loud, he's a straight-up unicorn.
So that's Mark Schlereth talking about Patrick Mahomes. He's not wrong. So the quarterbacks under 30, you know most of the names, Trubisky, Dak, Baker, Winston, all of those kind of guys. There's only really two, and maybe you want to say Carson Wentz, but I think people are very split on him, that have really emerged. That I do wonder if my generation of football fans were so spoiled by the past one. Let's just eliminate Brady and Manning, two of the five best quarterbacks to ever play. I think Phillip Rivers is going in the Hall of Fame. I think that Drew Brees is going in the Hall of Fame. I think that Rodgers is going in the Hall of Fame. I think Ben Roethlisberger is going in the Hall of Fame. Like, we've been fortunate enough to see 8 to 10 different franchise quarterbacks and Hall of Fame quarterbacks play at some times, that I wonder if our expectation is the next crop has to equally as be as good as that one. Man, I don't think that eight of these guys are going to the Hall of Fame at some point. I haven't seen a whole lot of separation between these quarterbacks, and it's such polarizing opinions on either side for so many of these guys, not named Patrick Mahomes and not named Deshaun Watson.
Was that a Freudian slip there? Did you leave Russell Wilson out of there?
He's over 30.
Oh, okay, good point. I think that you're right. When you talk about this past era that we're getting done watching was the golden era of quarterbacks. But that being said, it was also the golden era of offenses where guys like Carson Palmer and Matt Ryan, dudes like Matthew Stafford, are going to end up, when it's all said and done, as top 20 in career passing yards and touchdowns and stuff like that. So part of it is we were really blessed to see some really good quarterbacks the last 10 or 15 years. Part of it is the game has changed. That's going to happen. At some point, we don't know who those guys are right now. It looks like right now, if we're starting to list the young quarterbacks that are already actually established versus potential, you got to start with Pat, then Deshaun. Then I guess you could probably throw like Carson Wentz in there. At some point, either guys are going to be drafted, Tua, Trevor Lawrence, one of these dudes or another young quarterback that we're not talking about right now, Rosen, Darnold, Allen, one of those guys, is going to step up. But I think right now, as much separation as I believe, maybe not you, but I believe there is between Patrick Mahomes and Deshaun Watson, I think it's a pretty wide gap. There's an even wider gap between those two guys and the third best young quarterback.
And BK, we were arguing about the Brady Manning comparison for Patrick Mahomes, and we all agree that I'm not expecting there to be that quarterback rivalry. I don't expect that game to match up. Do we think we'll get a Brady Roethlisberger out of this generation? Maybe it's not going to be Brady Manning. For a 10-year span, we got spoiled as NFL fans. They were always 9-0, 8-1 when they played each other. They were playing in AFC championship games. We know that we were watching greatness at the position. Man, Brady and Roethlisberger has been a really good quarterback rivalry that I do think the NFL, in a quarterback-driven league, especially with the way that the rules are governed and the way that it's slanted towards quarterback, it's clamoring for who that next rivalry is going to be. Is it going to be Mahomes and then he becomes the Brady of this generation and there's a Ben Roethlisberger? Is there going to be a Phillip Rivers for this generation? Is there going to be that next tier? Maybe there's not a Manning from this, but is there going to be that other premier top-notch quarterback that develops from this class?
I think both these guys are generationally good. I think they're both transcendent talents. I think that if there wasn't a guy named Patrick Mahomes, you'd see Deshaun Watson on every other commercial, State Farm, Head & Shoulders. Hell, that dude might be coming to Kansas City to do Hy-Vee commercials. Deshaun Watson would be Patrick Mahomes if there was no Patrick Mahomes. He has 11 touchdowns, one interception this year. On his career, he has 56 touchdowns and 18 interceptions. And again, we talked about this a lot all week long. Part of it is the situation that he was placed in. Patrick Mahomes couldn't have been put in a better situation with Andy Reid, the rushing champion, Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, all the weapons. And I'm not going to pretend like Deshaun Watson had crap around him. He's had a pretty good running game, and he's had DeAndre Hopkins. But the truth is, both these guys are incredibly special in any era they play in.
Yeah, here's what I would say. Every time that we see a nationally televised game, there's two people that are on the picture, right? They basically do it like a movie poster, where you've got the stars that are center stage, and those are going to be your movie poster. The NFL does this, too. It's 95% of the time the quarterbacks for the opposing teams. Anytime the Patriots play a nationally televised game, the picture of the player that is going to be spotlighted for that game is going to be Tom Brady. And then whoever they're going up against, if it's the Steelers, it's Ben Roethlisberger. If it's the Broncos / Colts, it was going to be Peyton Manning. If it's the Giants, it was going to be Eli. It's always the quarterback. That's how these things get made. It's the national spotlight storylines. It's when they come in on a Sunday morning and they've got the pregame show going on. What are they talking about when they're spotlighting your game? We've now seen, based on everything that we saw today on the morning shows nationally, what the storyline's going to be on Sunday. This is the making of the next great quarterback rivalry in the NFL. And that's exactly what it's going to be, C-Dot. Like, you don't have to say that it is the next Brady versus Manning. I don't think it's going to be that. But Mahomes is going to be really good. The Chiefs are going to be really good. Watson, we've already seen, is a really good quarterback. These teams are going to see each other moving forward because more often than not, the best quarterbacks win, and the Chiefs and the Texans both have two of the best young quarterbacks in the league, so they're likely to see each other quite a bit moving forward based on the fact that they're in the same conference. I think this is a matchup we're going to see a lot, and as a result, it's going to be the storyline any time that they see each other. That is going to make it hyped up. That's how you become the next quote-unquote quarterback rivalry. It's why I've always said that this is probably the most likely one to come of these young quarterbacks.
And this is the first time. So if you've got tickets to this game, enjoy the show, because I think it's going to be a shootout Arrowhead Sunday.
You have Mahomes going to, what, four Super Bowls, five Super Bowls in his career?
I mean, if you made me predict today, I'd say he probably ends up, yeah, four. Let's say he goes to four.
How many do you think Watson gets to?
Probably a couple, probably two.
BK, how many Super Bowls do you think Deshaun Watson gets to? I'll set the over-under at 1.5. Do you think Deshaun Watson plays in 1.5 or more Super Bowls? I guess one or more Super Bowls.
I'd probably take the over. I don't feel confident on that. It's just really hard to make it to the Super Bowl, but I'd probably take the over. I'd say two.
Because that makes it the rivalry. Like, the rivalry that we gravitate towards and the ones that we flock to are teams that can go to and win the Super Bowl. Like when Kaepernick and Russell Wilson was a Super Bowl rivalry, or when that was a thing, Niners went to a Super Bowl, Seahawks went to a Super Bowl, Seahawks won one, Niners didn't win theirs. We talk about Brady and Manning, both got rings. We talk about Brady and Roethlisberger, both have rings. Is this going to be one where Mahomes gets his ring and Watson never goes to and never plays for a Super Bowl? Who else among AFC quarterbacks, once the Brady dynasty ends, there's an expectation that Mahomes is going to be playing in the big game multiple times? Who's the other quarterbacks or quarterback that we think is going to do it? Chiefs aren't going to seven straight Super Bowls. Who's the other quarterback that's going to go to the Super Bowl from the AFC? Let's find out. I don't know if that player has emerged yet. If you think it's Watson's, cool. But if we're setting the over-under at 1.5, I think that's about right. Like, one may be it. He might get his Russell Wilson 2, and maybe he gets his 1. I don't think he gets the more than that.
It's not just Brady that you don't have to deal with if you're Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs probably 2 or 3 years from now. I have to imagine when he's 45 years old, he's not going to be playing football anymore. You're not going to have to deal with Roethlisberger. He'll have hung it up. You're not going to have to deal with Philip Rivers. So it's going to be about Patrick Mahomes and whoever is next. And right now, that's Deshaun Watson. It's not the Bills quarterback. It's not the Jets quarterback. It's not the Ravens quarterback. It's sure as hell not the Browns quarterback. It's not the Colts quarterback. At some point, there's going to be that team and that quarterback that is the Chiefs' rival for the next 5 or 10 years. As of right now, and this could fully change, but as of right now, it looks like that could be Patrick Mahomes and Deshaun Watson.
BK, you were talking about the morning television circuit. Here's what Mike Greenberg of ESPN said about this quarterback matchup this weekend in Kansas City.
Football is not a sport that lends itself to one-on-one. There is no Magic versus Bird in this sport. What there is Unitas versus Starr, Bradshaw versus Stabler, Favre versus Aikman, and of course, most recently, Brady versus Manning, the defining rivalry of this century. They met 17 times, 5 in the playoffs, and one or the other has represented the AFC in the Super Bowl in 13 of the last 18 years. On their heels now come these two 24-year-old superstars. They were drafted 2 slots apart. They were born 3 days apart. They play in the same conference, and they are flat-out dealing. Mahomes leads the league in passing yards, Watson in touchdowns. Watson won a national championship in college. Mahomes already has an NFL MVP. In their pro careers, they've combined to throw 117 touchdowns and 31 interceptions. Plus, they both ooze leadership, determination, and talent that is at times impossible to believe. Their teams right now are a combined 7-3, and both currently lead their respective divisions. In short, there is every reason to believe these two quarterbacks will be the faces of the National Football League for the next 15 years, and this Sunday, we get to see them on the same field for the first time ever.
Text line 69306. I think this is a really good point. This only becomes a rivalry if Deshaun Watson can keep up. I think that's a really strong point. The expectation is that Mahomes is going to win multiple Super Bowls and go to 3 or 4 of these. The expectation for Patrick Mahomes is he's the odds-on favorite to win back-to-back MVP awards by the time he's 25 years old. He is just setting a pace that not many other quarterbacks can keep up with. Now, I understand the Patriots were the dominant team for a decade, but we saw the Colts have a nice run where they went on a double-digit run 11 out of 13 years. We saw the Steelers go to 3 Super Bowls and win 2 of them. We've seen other teams. They might not be able to run the long game with the Patriots, but they were able to run sprints, and they were able to keep up for short distances. The expectation is once the Patriots are off the throne, they are going to hand over reign of the AFC to the Kansas City Chiefs. What team is going to challenge them? I'm with you guys. It would appear to be Houston, but I still think there's a pretty decent-sized gap between Kansas City and where the Texans currently are.
Nothing in Watson's career, Carrington, makes me think that he's going to taper off anytime soon. As a rookie, he set the world on fire. He was Patrick Mahomes' rookie year. He just got hurt through 7 games. He had 19 touchdowns and 8 interceptions. He followed that up with 26 touchdowns and 9 picks last year. And oh, this year, ho-hum, he just has 11 touchdowns to 1 interception. That's a QBR of 116. So I don't think Deshaun Watson's going anywhere. The interesting thing is going to be these guys are going to get compared maybe even closer than Brady and Manning did throughout their entire career because they came from the same draft. And the question is always going to be, what would happen if Pat was placed in Deshaun's situation? How good would Deshaun Watson be with Andy Reid? These guys are always going to be linked together.
See, Don, I'll tell you why I disagree with the point that you just made about how I think you said Deshaun Watson needs to keep up with Patrick Mahomes. Nobody has kept up with Tom Brady. It would be impossible to keep up with Tom Brady because he has done more than any quarterback in the history of the NFL. He is more accomplished in terms of Super Bowl rings and team accomplishments than any player has ever been in the history of the league. And so, no, Deshaun Watson doesn't need to keep up in terms of the actual accolades to what Patrick Mahomes has done. He just needs to continue to be competitive. He needs to be really good. Peyton Manning, over the first 10 years of his career, wasn't all that successful as a team in terms of postseason success. But he was great individually. His teams continued to be successful on the football field in the regular season, and that became billed as a rivalry between those two quarterbacks. You don't have to have Deshaun Watson going to 3-4 Super Bowls for this to be a rivalry. They can be seen as 2 of the 5 best quarterbacks in the league, and as long as you've got that, that becomes a rivalry, no question about it.
This is where I'll push back on you just a little bit. The Patriots and the Steelers were at least viewed as equals. The Patriots and the Colts, for a time, were viewed to be equals.
By who? Nobody viewed them that way. That's what I'm disagreeing with. For the first portion of Peyton Manning's career, they weren't viewed as the equals to the New England Patriots. That wasn't the case at all, in my opinion.
Yeah, but the Patriots were better, but there wasn't the perception that there was the gap that exists between these two teams. I can't remember a time when it was, all right, these two teams are guaranteed going to the AFC Championship game, and it doesn't matter what the rest of these teams do. Like the Texans and how we talk about and discuss the Texans, they are not viewed nationally. They are not viewed here in Kansas City as a competitor to the Kansas City Chiefs. They're not viewed at it. And the expectation is if the Chiefs are a fully healthy team, they're worlds better than this team. I think the Texans got to evolve to the point where they win 13, 14 games. So they get to that point, and they're a legitimate Super Bowl contender. I don't consider Houston to be a legitimate Super Bowl contender.
I'm as big of a Chiefs fan, admittedly, as you're ever going to meet, but what in the hell have the Chiefs done to put them in the conversation as a Patriots? Like, Houston won one less game than the Chiefs did last year. They were a playoff team. The Chiefs were a playoff team. They got Deshaun Watson. We got Patrick Mahomes. Like, let's not pretend like there's a ton of separation between these
two teams.
Also,
the Colts went to one conference championship in the first 7 years of the run under Peyton Manning. One. They went to one conference title game in 7 years. We do this revisionist history where we act like the Colts and the Patriots met in the conference championship every year. That wasn't the case. From 1999 to 2005, they went to one conference title game. Then they went to the Super Bowl in 06 and didn't return back to the conference championship game until 2009. For the first 10 years, they saw each other in the playoffs twice. It just wasn't as much of a rivalry in the postseason as some people make it out to be when you're talking about getting to the championship games.
Coming up in the 5 o'clock hour, we will catch up with Bill Moss and we'll break down Chiefs and Texans. But first, we'll get into the top stories of the day and get you ready for Sunday's matchup against Kansas City and Houston. Next, that's The Drive.
The Drive. 610 Sports Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.